Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Hi there, welcome to Encouragementology. Tonight we are talking about loving you, strengths and weaknesses. Self-acceptance in all we are and all we do is the ultimate goal. As with any successful goal planning, you must create milestones with reminders to check in with yourself, a gut check, if you will. Total acceptance is not our go-to behavior and may take more than the average amount of self-discovery, awareness, and practice to tap into. I would like to use the word master here, but I'm convinced that the laws of nature push against this concept, so it takes you being persistent and diligent in your pursuit. Just think about it. Freedom. Freeing yourself from judgment, shame, and regret, and loving you. Pencil it in. We aren't giving up. By all accounts, I'm a very confident person. I'm outspoken, extroverted, never met a stranger, loves speaking to large crowds, and in most cases, fearless. But I struggle with self-acceptance. I don't have low self-esteem and can easily identify my strengths, but it's my weaknesses that I judge and criticize. It's hard for me to truly and completely forgive myself for past mistakes, and as a result, I carry a good amount of regret. Someone once told me that it isn't guilt, but sadness. Sadness over lost time that you can't recapture. I love how everything looks different with just a shift in perspective. You can carry a torch for something, but from a different vantage point, that flame can look like a roaring fire or barely a burning ember. It's important to let people inside to help you work through these judgments and to share a different perspective. Think about finding an accountability partner, someone to share your dreams, fears, strengths, and weaknesses with. This person can play an important role in your life if you pick the right person, someone who is genuinely interested in your health and well-being, a person that has nothing to gain by your success or failure, but who is kind and honest. You don't need a drill sergeant or a tough love coach for this exercise. Your accountability partner is someone who you can turn to when you need compassion, guidance, and truthful but kind feedback. You aren't looking for someone to stroke your ego and tell you how attractive you are and how you shouldn't have anything to complain about. Your fears and self-criticism are real, even if to the outside person they look unwarranted. Having someone tell you to just get over it isn't helpful. Self-acceptance comes with time and emotional growth. Each milestone hit, meaningful relationship formed, personal victory experienced, and obstacle overcame gives you a push in the right direction. But there can be roadblocks and detours that cause you to question everything. Your accountability partner can be a healthy reminder of how far you've come and guide you through the closures and back out to smooth sailing. I'm an idiot. What's wrong with me? I can't believe I did that again. I look so fat in these jeans. Why am I so careless? I'm never going to figure this out. Sharon Martin talks about how to turn self-criticism to self-love in an article she wrote for Psych Central. If you're highly self-critical or have a harsh inner critic, you think poorly of yourself, you say critical, negative, demoralizing things to yourself, you accentuate your faults and ignore your strengths and accomplishments. Criticism chips away at your self-esteem. It leads to hopelessness and shame. Contrary to popular belief, criticism does not help us learn to do better. It actually reinforces negative beliefs about ourselves and turns on the anxiety-driven fight, flight, freeze part of our brain, making it hard for us to learn and change our behavior. So, if it was your boss or spouse or parent who was constantly criticizing you, I'd probably tell you to keep your distance. But when the criticism is coming from inside your own head, it's a harder problem to solve. Clearly, you can't stop listening to yourself. So we need to learn how to change our thoughts. Did you know that self-criticism is learned? If you were criticized a lot as a child, you may consciously or unconsciously think you deserve criticism. When you're told you're stupid or fat or lazy over and over again, you start to believe it. And then, even after your parents, teachers, or other critics from childhood no longer have your ear, you may find that you've taken over their job. You're criticizing yourself because it seems so natural and so deserved. We also criticize ourselves because we have unrealistic expectations. Whether you realize it or not, self-criticism is built on perfectionism. Impossibly high standards, the belief that you should never make a mistake and that nothing you do is ever good enough. With this perfectionistic mindset, I could always find something to criticize about myself. And let's face it, when you're scanning for mistakes, for evidence that you're inferior, you're always going to find them. Not because you're inferior, but because you've put yourself under a microscope and you're only looking for signs that you're inadequate. And you're throwing out all the evidence that you are adequate. The road from self-criticism to self-acceptance can be a tough one. It requires us to challenge our negative thoughts and consider that we've been relying on distorted thoughts, inaccurate beliefs, and unrealistic expectations for years. It requires us to discard the notions that self-criticism is helpful and deserved. Here are some of the ways to get started. Look for positives and cultivate a more balanced view of yourself. Intentionally notice your strengths, the things you do right, your progress and effort. This exercise works best when you take a few minutes daily to write down the positives, reflect on them, and let them sink in. Challenge your inner critic. Not all of your thoughts are accurate, and you can weed out the inaccurate ones by being inquisitive and questioning whether they're true. When you have a self-critical thought, ask yourself these questions in an effort to create a more accurate thought. How do I know this to be true? What evidence do I have to support this? What evidence do I have to refute it? Is my thought or belief based on facts or opinions? Is this thoughtful, helpful? Am I overgeneralizing or jumping to conclusions? Is this what I want to think about myself? What would I say to myself if I was more accepting and self-compassionate? Practice using helpful self-talk like, I don't need to be perfect. This is stressful. What do I need right now? I'm not stupid or any negative adjective. I'm stressed. With lots of practice, you'll be able to replace self-criticism with compassionate self-talk. But in the beginning, you may not notice a self-critical thought until after you've had it. In which case, practice self-compassion after the fact as a way to teach yourself how you want to think. You might gently say to yourself, what I meant to say is that it's okay to make a mistake. I'm not stupid. Everyone has forgotten something important at home. I don't need to make it harder by beating myself up about it. Tell yourself what you need to hear as a child. Another variation of the exercise is to talk to your inner child. Think about a younger version of yourself, the little boy or girl who suffered through criticism from others. What did they long to hear? What words would have given them comfort and reassurance? What would have built them up rather than tear them down? You deserve to be treated with kindness. You are lovable just the way you are. You can count on me. I'll always have your back. I love you. You don't have to accept other people's opinions as facts. You don't have to be perfect. It's okay to make mistakes. Focus on self-acceptance rather than self-improvement. There's definitely a place for self-improvement, but when we focus on self-improvement exclusively, we set ourselves up for self-criticism and never feeling good enough. It may seem backward. We actually need to accept ourselves first, and then we can improve. In other words, self-acceptance isn't the result of self-improvement. Let's say that again. Self-acceptance isn't the result of self-improvement. Self-acceptance makes self-improvement possible. Self-acceptance doesn't mean that I don't want or need change. It means that I accept myself, who I am at this moment. I accept that I have limitations, I have flaws. I still want to learn and grow and improve, but I also accept who I am right now. How easy is it for you to identify your strengths? What are you good at? What are you proud of? If someone asked you to tell them a little bit about yourself, what would you highlight? Sometimes I do this exercise with groups, and I tell them they can't pick their family. Isn't that the easy one? That's the go-to one. I'm so proud of my children. Go deeper than what you've produced and talk about yourself, your core. Sometimes we hide behind what we do to avoid talking about who we are. You are unique. Good and bad, there is only one of you. Your walk on this earth is flanked by many experiences and lots of people, but it's your walk to take. No one can make the ultimate decision but you. So don't you want to get to know your captain? How about your weaknesses? Do you have a list a mile long? What if your weaknesses were actually your strengths? That would shake it up a bit, wouldn't it? I care deeply about what people think about me. That can be a strength and a weakness. As a strength, I'm very focused on my relationships with others. I'm aware of my communication and body language style and go out of my way to be accommodating and kind. As a weakness, I can easily misinterpret a lack of attention or response from another person. I believe I have more control over other people's thoughts and reactions than I do. I don't recognize when someone might be dealing with their own insecurities that have nothing to do with me. As I said, this is a marathon, not a sprint. Thibaut Maurice is the founder of whatispersonaldevelopment.org and shares 6 amazing things that will happen when you embrace your weaknesses. 1, you'll unlock great opportunities. Fully embracing your weaknesses is the only way to work on them. Doing so allows you to make positive changes in your life and creates opportunities for growth. Will you make peace with your weaknesses, or will you work to only conceal them? Regardless of your choice, fully acknowledging them is the first step. Working on your weaknesses can yield amazing results. For instance, low self-confidence might be hindering your ability to attain success and happiness. In this case, focusing on that particular weakness and taking full responsibility for it would produce several positive changes. It would likely unveil hidden potential and create significant momentum in your life. Of course, trying to get rid of a certain weakness isn't always the best idea. Not every weakness can or should be changed. Sometimes all you need is the courage to recognize it and accept that you can't or shouldn't do anything about it. After all, imperfections are a part of being human, right? You aren't a superhero, and no one is asking you to be one. 2, you'll uncover your fears. Fears can masquerade as weaknesses, which means that finding the courage to acknowledge your shortcomings may be the first step in facing your fears. ask yourself the following question. Am I genuinely bad at this particular thing, or am I just scared of doing it? Many of us think we're genuinely bad at something when we actually aren't. In many cases, we're only bad at it because we're running away from it or failed to face it properly in the past. Are your shortcomings disguises for fears you're trying to avoid, or are they legitimate flaws that you can accept and move on from? The answer is within, and you'll find out if you're fully honest with yourself. In any case, allow your weaknesses to guide you. Number three, you'll reduce your ego. For many of us, pride stops us from fully acknowledging our flaws. We're afraid of being seen as weak, or we're scared of showing our vulnerability to others. This causes us to become defensive whenever someone points out our shortcomings or threatens our self-image. Have you noticed that defensiveness is usually a sign of denial? When someone points out a weakness that you have not yet accepted, it hurts your feelings. By learning to embrace your flaws, you'll reduce your ego and diminish your fears. You'll be happier with yourself, which will allow you to drop the defensiveness and accept constructive criticism without feeling hurt. Number four, you'll develop self-compassion. Have you ever felt inadequate because of your weaknesses? If so, you may feel ashamed and try to hide it. You may even feel that people would no longer accept you if they discovered your little secret. Well, it's more likely than not that there are millions of people who have the same secret. Maybe you have trouble remembering people's names, or maybe you aren't good at socializing during events. Whatever your weakness, maybe why not embrace it and work through it rather than trying to hide it? You could even try taking it less seriously and laughing about it. Accepting your shortcomings will foster self-compassion and allow you to stop beating yourself up. Number five, you'll accept help from others. When you embrace your weakness, you can welcome the help and input of others without getting defensive. You can take their opinions into consideration and be willing to change or accept criticism without feeling the need to react. You simply own your weakness and see others as part of your growth rather than potential threats. Number six, you'll build deeper and more meaningful connections with people. Embracing your weakness allows you to build stronger connections. People will appreciate the fact that you're willing to show your vulnerability. They'll also value your authenticity and admire the fact that you have the courage to be yourself. Embracing your weaknesses and sharing your true self will make others feel comfortable, and they'll do the same with you. You'll open up a whole new world. You'll start to see people around you opening up and sharing their own weaknesses and struggles with you. This will allow you to build stronger, deeper, and more meaningful connections with others. So what are you waiting for? Start embracing your weaknesses right now. Whether you choose to work on your flaws or accept them, don't be afraid to share them. I love the dynamic of support groups. I'm using the word support group to give you an accurate visual of a group of people sitting in a circle, sharing intimate details about themselves with others. What I don't like about the support group stereotype is that there has to be something wrong with you to want to seek the counsel and support from other people. And that's wrong. We need each other. We were put on this earth to commune and work together. That's how we survive and thrive. Being independent does not mean going at it alone or solo. So many times we feel like we were the only ones dealing with this issue and nobody could possibly understand what we're going through. But that couldn't be further from the truth. When you share your fears, desires, goals, challenges, and successes, you find common threads that link you with other people. There's a bond that's formed there, a basic understanding and mutual respect. We are always learning and learning from others who've walked there before, overcame, and conquered. And that's priceless. If you are alone and disconnected, believing no one could possibly understand what you're going through, please reach out. Don't be ashamed of feeling weak. You aren't supposed to go it alone. You need others for comfort, compassion, and understanding. That is true strength. Guess what? We all have problems. That's a general statement, meaning everyone is dealing with their own stuff. And even if you idealize the person who you think has it all together, guaranteed, they are insecure about something. Umar Haque shares his insight on what true strength really is and where it comes from in an article for Medium. Strength isn't the absence of weakness. Strengths and weaknesses are one. There can't be one without the other. Weakness is just the mirror image of strength, and vice versa. They are really the very same thing. Perhaps you are principled, but judgmental. You're easily hurt, but compassionate. You're focused, but one-dimensional. You're creative, but a mess. Pragmatic, but boring. Humble, but a pushover. Passionate, but maniacal. You're greedy, but meticulous. You're brave, but foolhardy. And so on. Perhaps you recognize aspects of yourself, even here. Strengths and weaknesses aren't separate. They're just two aspects of the same things in us. When we try to divide them, that's when we fail at both. We are principled, so we try to be less judgmental. And now, we're not even principled. We're compassionate but easily hurt, so we try to be harder but lose our compassion. Here are three great insights about true strength. True strength is awareness. Self-awareness is not the game of choosing identities, little bits of ourselves to desire. That kind of love, which celebrates only what it thinks is valuable, is narcissistic. It is as superficial as desiring a person just for the way that they look, don't you think? It's turning yourself into an object. So that kind of self-love is shallow and narrow, not pure, clear, or true. True strength is never dividing oneself up into weak and strong. Always, always, when we divide ourselves, then do fear and anxiety arise. When we have divided ourselves into strength and weakness and want to excise parts of us, then of course we'll be anxious and afraid. We will always think we are only weak this way because we can never really get rid of our weaknesses at all. True strength is knowing, experiencing the truth that is our fragile lives. And therefore, we must accept not just our strengths, but also our weaknesses. We must love them even more fiercely than we love our strengths, for they are one and the same. True strength is compassion. It's not just our weaknesses that are our strengths, it's everyone's. We are all one and the same this way. The oneness of strength and weakness is not just being human. It's just being. It is as true for an ant or a tiger as it is for you. The tiger is swift, but he must eat and eat. The ant is slow, but he can survive the greatest blows and so on. Now, we can look at every person differently. With true compassion, the weakness we so despise in others also contains strengths, and the strengths we admire also hold weaknesses. Now, we don't simply have to despise the weak and admire the strong, right? We can have compassion for every single being, including ourselves, and know that they, just like us, are struggling with the oneness of strength in weakness and weakness in strength. So we do not have to judge them against us or us against them anymore. We have a more sophisticated way of seeing people now, through the truth of them. This is no us and them, no separation. No matter how superficially different they may appear to be, we are all walking the same path. True strength is perspective. Now we arrive at the last, most difficult part of self-awareness. We contain multitudes. We're not just weak or strong. We are weak and strong. So we must see ourselves totally different. We can't simply idolize ourselves as one-dimensional beings anymore. We must learn to know ourselves as contradictions. Sometimes we are weak. Sometimes we are strong. And that's just how it should be. Is the river weak or strong when the water flows around the rocks? Is the tree weak or strong when it bends in the wind? Is the glacier weak or strong when the ice melts? Lao Tzu called all this actionless action. It is the idea that the truly mighty things are weak and strong, not weak or strong, like the river, the tree, and the glacier. Weak and strong are just matters of perspective. Sometimes what we call weakness is strength, and strength weakness. Is it strong or weak to prevent an enemy from being hurt? Is it weak or strong to love someone for their fragility? Now, you understand the principle of actionless action. It is not a matter of either or, but both. The whole is greater than the parts. We need to be weak and strong to be mighty, which is what true strength is. The river, the tree, the glacier, all the forces of nature are mighty, not because they are weak or strong, just because they are weak and strong. And so are you. Part of self-discovery is definitely knowing yourself. As I mentioned before, I talked to groups about what they're proud of, and not saying family, digging a little deeper and talking about what they're proud of themselves. What are some of their redeeming qualities? What are some of the things that they can recognize about themselves? And we go through kind of a worksheet, and I think it's applicable here. These are some questions that you can use to dig a little bit deeper into how you feel about things so you can uncover your strengths and your weaknesses. So number one, if you have a pen and paper, you can write these down or just write down your answers. What do I love absolutely? Deep down, what matters to you? Write down the things that give you energy and excite you. People, places, activities, ideas. What really gets you going? Down in your core. Number two, what do I consider my greatest accomplishments in life? This is a moment in your life that you felt really proud of, accomplished, or successful. What did it take to make that happen? List out your steps, because each of them is an achieved milestone and should be celebrated. Really dig in there. What are your greatest? Remember, I said you can't say children or family. Dig deeper. Talk about yourself for a minute. It's so hard to do, to really celebrate our own accomplishments, but this is a worksheet to help you do that. Number three, what would be my purpose if I knew no one would judge me? If there was no fear, no worry, no repercussions, no judgment of your choices, right? To your most deeply held wishes and dreams, what would you do? Write it all out, even if it seems ridiculous and it makes you giggle. Guess what? It makes you you. Write those down. Number four, if there were no limits to what I could have or could want in my life, what would that be? Before self-doubt creeps in, what would your life look like if no wasn't a possibility? List out what you would be doing, where you would be living, how successful are you, what kind of person would you be? Answering questions like this make you dig into what's important to you, and it's a great way to uncover your strength and your weakness. What's hard for you? You know, you might find it difficult to reward yourself with good things, and that can be a weakness. Or you might find that your strengths are actually some of your weaknesses. Number 5, if you had all the money in the world, what would you do? Make a list of every single thing that you would really love to see happen in your life if you had all the money in the world. After the obvious ones, obviously, challenge yourself to think along the lines of no boundaries and fulfilling a purpose. Then what would be on your list? Is your mind swirling, thinking of all the amazing things that you could do, the lives that you could impact? Number 6, who do you admire most? Who exudes the qualities that you admire most in a person? Think about what really inspires you in this world and who is living their own world out loud. Who do you look at and think, gee, really wish I could embody all of those characteristics? I see their positivity and I see their wonderful glow. Wish I could embody that. Who is that person? What do you think about their insecurities? Do you think they're dealing with some of the same things, strengths and weaknesses? It's important to walk through these things because getting to know yourself is going to help you uncover the strengths and the weaknesses and marry them together so that they can work for you. Okay, I hope you are still feverishly writing down your answers. It's important to spend a little time walking through these, thinking about them. If you can't come up with everything all at once, put it down, come back to it. It has a lot to do on your mood, the time of day, whether you're really feeling particularly critical to yourself or you're having a nice, kind, and compassionate moment. So don't beat yourself up. Take your time. It's important. Thank you so much for staying with me tonight and talking about your strengths and your weaknesses. Not always easy to do. Turning that mirror up and looking into it and being honest with yourself. You know, when we started this show tonight, we talked about self-acceptance being the ultimate goal. And that's still true. How can we get to that point of self-acceptance? Well, it starts with knowing who you are and what's important to you. And then being honest with yourself and kind. We also talked about finding that accountability person, you know, someone to help you look in the mirror. Sometimes it's not easy, so they could be that mirroring person to maybe pick you up when you're beating yourself up. You know, talk about the things that they see from a different vantage point. It's so important. They can also help you look at every situation in a little bit different perspective. You know, when you do that, you can see a much bigger, bigger world. We get very narrow when we are self-criticizing. And when we have negative self-talk, our viewpoint is very, very narrow. So back it up a little bit. You know, always talk about getting that higher perspective, that higher vantage point so that you can see the bigger picture. Such an important aspect of anything that you do. We talked about the critical self-talk and how damaging that can be and how you can reframe that. Turn it around. Use the more positive. Look what you can do. Look how you can talk to yourself. I don't need to be perfect. This is stressful. What do I need right now? I'm stressed. I'm not stupid. You know, turn those around. Be kind to yourself. Replace it with compassionate self-talk. We also talked about the fact that self-acceptance isn't the result of self-improvement. So don't go out and think, oh, if I could just be better at this and I could lose weight and I could do this, I would start loving myself and accepting myself. That is the wrong approach. Self-acceptance makes self-improvement possible. So you have to love yourself where you are today, right? We also talked about, you know, digging deep and finding out not only what you're proud of, but maybe what some of the things that you would like to work on and how you could turn those weaknesses into strengths, right? We found out a lot of different ways, like unlocking some new opportunities or uncovering your fears and reducing your ego and developing some self-compassion for yourself, accepting help from others and building deeper and more meaningful connections, which is always, always a plus. We also talked about, you know, when we get in our own head and we get lonely and we get self-criticizing, we can isolate. And that's just the wrong time to do that. We need each other. We need to reach out. We need to connect. And we need to find support in other human beings, which is so important. That really is true strength. We also talked about some other true strengths, like awareness, compassion, and also perspective, right? How a river can be both weak and strong when it flows around the rocks. I love that. And the tree can be weak or strong when it bends in the wind, right? So let's take another step forward to self-acceptance. Today, you might have uncovered a weakness that turned out to be a mighty strength, and a strength you've been using to hide weakness. We can shift our perspective to see things with a new light as we start to forgive ourselves for what we can't control and love ourselves for who we are. So I challenge you, embrace all that you are, good, bad, and undiscovered. You have the power to accept and improve while loving you. And I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges. I stumbled through until the path was